Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearlings together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. And now, as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord God, we pray that as we now hear your word proclaimed, you will open our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, to understand what it is you would have us hear. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, once again, on this second Sunday of Advent, our lectionary reading takes us back to the time of John the Baptist. And in this particular passage, he is helping us to prepare the way. Hear now Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. Well, as we approach Christmas season and look forward to celebrating the arrival of the Christ child in Bethlehem, our Advent thoughts do indeed turn to what we need to do to prepare for this miraculous event. Scripture causes us to gaze into the eyes of John the Baptist and to hear him saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The prophet Isaiah has already introduced us to this man hundreds of years before he actually lived, by telling us that there would be this voice of one calling in the desert, and his voice would be exhorting us to prepare the way for the Lord. So during this Advent season, as we are anticipating the arrival of the baby in a manger, how are we preparing the way? We know from our scripture passage last week that we should be ready for the second coming of the Lord at any unknown time. Remember that our scripture last week said, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." It would seem to me that we should be preparing the way for the Christ child in much the same manner, by living our lives in ways that will bring honor and glory to his name. That means by living according to his word, by loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind, and by loving our neighbors as ourselves. That seems an appropriate place to start in preparing the way. But today we hear those words of John the Baptist saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now the word repent, you've heard me say before, in both Hebrew and Greek, means to turn around or to go back in the opposite direction. How is it that John the Baptist knows that we are going in the wrong direction and that we need to turn around? Perhaps it's because the same has been true throughout history. It certainly was true for Adam and Eve. It was true for Abraham and for Moses. It was true for the kings and rulers and religious leaders of ancient Israel. It was even true for King David, the one who had been chosen king by God himself. But David just couldn't seem to stay on that righteous path. Yes, even David, the one whose lineage brought us Jesus, even he had to repent. He had to turn himself around many times. So for us today, to think about preparing the way for the Lord, perhaps we need to think individually about what parts of our lives we need to turn around. It can be uncomfortable to hear the message of John the Baptist. He's asking us to think with complete honesty about our lives and the paths that we are going down, and then to intentionally make a change if necessary. And that can be so very, very hard. I've thought about the ways to sugarcoat this message. I've tried to think of John the Baptist as someone who was a kind of a wild man. And maybe we don't need to take his message so seriously. I've tried to clean him up and give him a shave, put on some fresh clothes, teach him to eat like the rest of us. But you see, he doesn't live by the rules of a polite society, and it would be much easier to not have to deal with him. I'd rather be able to tell you charming and amusing stories that would entertain you and make you feel good. I'd like to wrap the gospel up in a bow and offer it as a beautiful gift that doesn't make you uncomfortable. But there is no way that we can be in this season of Advent, the time of anticipating the arrival of Christ, without thinking of the message of John the Baptist. We need to prepare the way. We need to be ready. The people of ancient Israel did not know the time nor the day when the Messiah would arrive, and we do not know the time nor the day when he will come again. Perhaps being a little uncomfortable is preventative medicine for our future spiritual health. Abraham was having a normal life in the city of Ur when God came to him and told him to pack up his family and move out. Moses was hiding out in Midian when the burning bush sent him into Egypt to confront Pharaoh, not something that he was comfortable doing. Elijah was hiding out in a cave because the evil queen had the whole army after him. Elijah complained about the miserable working conditions of being a prophet of God. But alas, God told him to get out of the cave and to get back to work. Jesus began his ministry by inviting two fishermen to follow him. They were leading totally predictable lives until that time. But Jesus didn't say, "Follow me and I will make your life easy." He didn't say, "Follow me and everyone will respect you and appreciate you." He didn't say, "Follow me and everyone will bow down before you." No, he said, "Follow me." Their path suddenly changed, and there was no way for them to anticipate what might lie ahead, but they were on the same path with Jesus. And so when John the Baptist shows up shouting at us to repent, meaning to turn around, I think of the innocence of childhood. So many of our bad habits, our biases, and our idolatries are learned behavior. Behavior that we learn from the society around us. We have changed from our childhood innocence, and we have taken a different path. I am reminded of a time when I was in college. I was active in our student government at Colorado State University, having been elected to vice president of the student body. And one of the functions that fell under my purview was the University Child Care Center, which offered child care for students, especially graduate students at that time. And one day I was paying a visit to the child care center, and I was talking with the director out on the playground when a little girl named Dolly came running up to me. I had met Dolly on previous visits, and she didn't know a stranger. She held up her hands and wanted me to hold her. And she had this beautiful old smile. She would just melt your heart. And as I was standing there holding her, a little blonde, blue-eyed boy came running up, and he asked me if I was Dolly's daddy. Well, what struck me was the innocence of children. Because you see, Dolly was African American, but the little boy did not see nor understand the difference in our color of skin. He only knew that I was holding his friend, Dolly, and he innocently asked if I was her daddy. I realized that someday that innocent child would be taught by the society around him about the difference of skin color. And just like the innocent children and the way they are taught, we teach them so many things where they lose the innocence of their youth. When we are told to repent, to turn around, I believe it is to turn around and move back in the direction of the innocence from which we have come. Before we learned to take God's grace for granted, before we stopped loving our neighbor as ourself, and before it became important to have more and more of the material things that will always let us down in a time of spiritual need. We are called upon to prepare the way for the Lord. God intends for us to find the joy and comfort that comes from the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom that is here now, today. But so often we can't see it or recognize it because it is obscured by all of these things we have learned from a secular society that has turned us away from our childhood innocence. Let me read what Jesus has to say, here again coming from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Those words, "come, follow me," they were true for the disciples who walked beside Jesus. They're true for us today. This morning, we have the opportunity to turn around. We have the chance to renew our commitment to following a risen and gracious God in the person of Jesus Christ. He longs to know us in our innocence. Today, as a part of our faith, we acknowledge before God that we have lost our innocence, but we rejoice that Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, has given us a new path to righteousness. Come, let us turn around. Let us prepare the way for the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as you call us to follow you, we pray that you will give us the courage to acknowledge in our own hearts the parts of our lives that indeed we need to turn around. And Lord, we pray that we will feel that joy that comes from truly following you, from the joy that comes from being committed to a true relationship with you. And Lord, at times when it seems frightening to maybe change some aspect of our lives, we pray that you will give us the courage to do it. Lord, thank you for the way that you love us. Thank you for the grace that you pour out upon us. And during this Advent season, as we anticipate the coming of the Christ child, we pray that you will always keep this message of your journey here on earth fully in our hearts. Lord, this morning we do lift up to you those who are in need of your care and of your healing and of your presence. Lord, we lift up to you Denise Pillow. For those of us who know her, we know of her true commitment to your mission here on earth as she works so hard to feed the hungry. And Lord, we are saddened at the news of her cancer, but we pray, Lord, that you will indeed heal her as she is undergoing cancer treatment now. We pray for your presence. We pray that she will feel your presence. And Lord, we pray that she will feel the love of all of those who admire the work that she does on your behalf. And Lord, we lift up our sister Joyce Blevins, who had a terrible accident where she has broken bones and a bruised face and a broken hand. And we just pray that you will be with her, that she will feel your presence and your comfort. And we do pray for quick healing for Joyce. And Lord, we continue to remember little Elijah, a 3-year-old who also is facing cancer. We pray that you will continue to be with him and his family. And Lord, we celebrate the great things in our lives that bring us so much joy. We thank you for birthdays that have occurred, momentous birthdays. We thank you for Priscilla Whitlock and the birthday that she celebrated yesterday. We thank you for all of the many ways that we are joyful during this season. But even in our joy, help us to remember that we are here to serve you, which means serving those who are less fortunate. So we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior, the one who we anticipate his arrival. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in his name. And we pray the prayer now that he taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now return to God our gifts.